Hello and welcome to a special episode of Football. We are introducing a new format today, which I think should be called Insta Football, but there is not much agreement on that. But the idea is that we're going to have interviews with experts on issues that are topical. And to do that with me, we've got my co-host, Guy Burton. Hello, Guy. How are you?
Hi, and can I just put down my reservations about your gimmick right now?
You don't like my Insta football?
Oh, whatever. Fine. You know what? Let's call it a work in progress. Okay. But hi.
Okay.
Nice to meet
you.
Yeah.
But the idea is that we're gonna have a little chat with an expert on an issue that's been a lot in the news and that's relevant to sort of football and politics, right?
Absolutely. We're keen to jump on that bandwagon. So let's get going.
Absolutely. And we got a great expert for today's topic.
Yes, what's the bandwagon we're jumping on now? Remind me.
It's the England jersey, I believe, and the new design.
Okay. So, and yeah, who do we
been
have?
A big discussion here,
yeah. Yeah, and who do we have joining us in Football Pod Towers today?
Football Pod Central. We've got the expert on football jerseys, as well as a friend of our podcast, Alex Ireland. Now, listeners might have already checked out the episode that we did with Alex, where we discussed at length the politics of football jerseys. Alex is also the author of the fantastic Pretty Polly, which I would recommend to football jersey fans, but football fans more in general. I know you read it, Guy, as well, and you absolutely love the book. And it's Alex is joining us just to help us understand what's going on.
Yeah,
because frankly, I'm a bit confused about the whole issue.
Yeah, hi, Alex. Welcome to the show.
Hello, great to be back on. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, and I see you're wearing an England shirt there.
Yeah, so we'll come to this later. This is a shirt that's about 10 years old, but it is also one that had what Knight called a playful interpretation of the England flag.
Playful is an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah, and that brings us right into the middle of the news, right? So it's about the flag. So Francesco, do you want to sort of kick off on that? What's going on with the flag?
Well, let's ask Alex. So, Alex, what has happened with the jersey, and why my family in Italy is asking me what's going on with the England jersey? What's the big deal? What has happened?
So, kit releases are a big part of the footballing calendar, both for club and country, and because we've got a major tournament coming up, and this provides a massive boon to Nike and Adidas for sales. So the manufacturers, really, sales are pretty poor for the rest of that kind of 2-year cycle, but leading up to a World Cup and Euros, that's when they make the money back on the contract. So yeah, last week we had England releasing the home and away shirts, which are going to be used over the next 2-year cycle, including the upcoming European Championship. And the away, which we'll probably not talk about, beautiful kind of purple design. If you check it out, really distinctive with lovely pattern down the side. Mm-hmm. But what's caused controversy is the home shirt, which generally is quite sort of staid design, but a particular detail on the back has caused controversy. So on the back of the navy blue collar, there's a cross which is made up of different colours, so purple, blue, different shades of red, in place of the usual red cross of St. George, which is the England flag. And this was announced as a kind of innocuous tweet. Knight called it a playful interpretation of the England flag. But over the following 24 or 48 hours, it snowballed into a kind of political football with likes of Keir Starmer, Lee Anderson, Rishi Sunak, all wading in with their outline their disgust and outrage at this abomination which Nike had created.
That's the Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition, right? Just for our non-British listeners. And why on earth have the politicians decided to wade into this or make it an issue? I mean, has Nike put the St. George's cross on the shirt before? I mean, why does it matter if it's in different colours?
So it has appeared in different guises. I think back about 2007 or so, it appeared as a design on the shoulder of the shirt. People might remember. It's a kind of big motif. It's also, so Peter Saville, the some people might know from his work with Factory Records as a designer in the 1980s and 90s, so a famous designer. He was given the role when the tail end of the Umbro contract, about 2011, 2012. And he created a shirt which had on the across the shoulder panel a series of quite small crosses in different colors, so very small, a few millimeters wide, and purposefully at the time, he said this is to represent a more diverse England, a more diverse contemporary England. And the idea essentially is that the St. George's Cross has not always been a marker of kind of diversity, that really it was kind of co-opted by the National Front and other kind of right-wing organizations, and it had quite a lot of stigma about it. And my own opinion, that that's lessened slightly over the last few years. It's become more kind of an acceptable symbol. But his idea was to actually broaden that and make a shirt that more represented a kind of multicultural modern England. I don't remember a great deal of controversy about that at the time, but obviously this change in interpretation has caused a lot of heat this time.
Some right-wing politicians also refer to the fact that these colors would recall somehow the colors of pride and LGBTQ plus community. Has that been something that has been in the discussion as well, would you say?
So Nike have said, and this seems a very consistent thing, that the colours come from the palette of the training gear that was worn during the 1966 World Cup, which England won on home soil. And actually, if you look at it, there are a number of design references to that training kit. So it had a sort of thin hooped collar and cuffs. And actually, if you looked at the pre-match warm-up jacket the players wore, it had that same kind of motif design on the cuffs and the collar. So obviously they have taken some genuine design cues from that. And having seen those, it does reflect that palette. But it is also, of course, because almost every colour is represented in the LGBTQ flag, of course it picks up some colours from that. But I think Nike, if they'd wanted to make that point, as I said, I think when manufacturers want to make a point about diversity, it is a selling point and they tend to do it quite openly. I don't really buy the idea that Nike is sort of surreptitiously sneaking in these diversity kind of icons, motifs into a shirt without mentioning it for us. It just doesn't seem to fit for me.
But then if you say, I mean, you mentioned that there's been attempts to try and sort of illustrate or, represent diversity, in previous England shirts. So why is, and at the time there wasn't, it didn't have the same kind of, political storm that it's generated in the last past week. Why is this happening now?
You'd probably tell me better than I'd be able to tell you, but I think it's just to me, as a non-expert in politics, it just seems a reflection of the current climate, that these issues are being co-opted by people as an opportunity to gain votes, that they're seen as a dividing point, and they're being weaponized on both sides to a certain extent. That they're becoming divisive issues, and people are asking to be a pick a side based on that. And I think it's really down to that. You think people didn't really think too much about the EU. They didn't think too much about immigration until it's been made clear to them it should be something they think about. And I think the same is true with LGBTQ plus image issues. It's part of this kind of culture wars, the idea that your political voting should go along the lines of a kind of much broader worldview.
I personally like it, and the fact that it enrages right wingers, for me it's an absolute plus. Can I ask you one thing, Alex? So if you are Nike at the moment, are you happy about this? Is it good news or is it bad news that there is so much controversy? Is it gonna increase sales, diminish sales?
Yeah, I suppose it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I mean, one is it's absolutely dominated the news, and you've had pictures, you must have had tens of, if not hundreds of millions of pounds worth of media exposure. There are talks of a boycott. It seems to be very, very half-hearted. I can't imagine that the strength of feeling really is going to be enough that come the summer tournament in Germany, there aren't going to be oceans of bleach white polyester occasionally covering the stomachs and backs of every England supporter in Germany. So
Yeah. Can I ask, have there been previous instances, previous political storms around the England shirt at all? Or, I mean, or more generally, if beyond that, I mean, have other countries faced similar sort of supposed crises as a result of sort of the representation of their national emblems?
Yeah, so there's a Spanish shirt. There was idea that it was a particular shirt that was made by Adidas, I think 10 or 15 years or so ago, and it alluded to kind of a Franco era palette. And so I think if you look hard enough at any of these symbols, there's always something that can offend somebody. So it happens, you know, mistakes made. There are many kind of political hot potatoes, you know, things like where maps have been represented and where when people have put maps on a shirt design, obviously you have to decide where the territory lies and what the shape of that country is. And in some cases that's been disputed, and where disputed territories have either been included or excluded from a design, you know, where say a sponsor or for other reasons, the club or country takes on the identity, the colours that are associated with a rival, for example. You know, there's so the colours are probably as fundamental an aspect of a club or country's personality and culture into footballing terms. So it is easy to understand why people do get legitimately defensive about them. I would just say a further point that I don't think has been made a great deal is about the St. George's Cross and its kind of identity with England supporters. Really, it's only a relatively recently that it's been adopted kind of wholeheartedly. If you look back to press photographs of the 1966 World Cup and even the 1990 World Cup, you look amongst the sea of flags, vast majority are Union Jack flags. And, you know, English people chose to felt they were a representation of Britain as a whole, really. And it probably in the last 20, 25 years or so that the St. George's Cross has become, you know, the predominant flag that's associated with fandom of the England team.
This is really interesting and not something I knew a lot about. Guy.
Oh, no. I remember, I mean, and I'm showing my age now. I remember the 96 Euros when, you know, you started to see a lot more St. George's crosses.
Yeah.
And that's when I think when they sort of pinpoint it, that's the moment at which you start to see this, you know, greater association with that particular flag. But I just wanted to ask Alex, because of course you are wearing an England shirt and you've got a St. George's cross there as well.
Yeah, so this is the one that I was talking about before, is the idea that, you know, Savile reimagined this shirt with these different coloured, very small crosses in what purples and blues and greens and reds. And the idea, again, he consciously did what the right wing politicians are claiming the current design did, and he purposefully wanted a more diverse, a more open representation of the St. George's Cross that was more inclusive to people from different backgrounds. And there was also a goalkeeper shirt which was sort of green, different shades of green, St. George's Cross. Again, there are other examples that just haven't caused this controversy. You might remember the GB kit from the 2012 Olympics, that was different shades of blue, so the red was cut out, and it has been played with really you know a lot. So yeah, again, and you come back to your point about the what's the point of this, you know, particularly figures like Rishi Sunak, you know, not really much of a background in terms of football support or an affinity to the game. And, you know, again, it's just this idea of co-opting. It seems to be this idea of co-opting this purely for kind of naked political gain without, you know, do I really feel he's offended by this representation of the St. George's Cross?
Yeah.
Very unlikely, I think.
And we do have an election coming up, and you know, the actual hard work of solving, you know, the budget crisis and, you know, social services sort of takes a back seat when you can have a sort of a simple furore over, you know, a flag on the back of the shirt. Well, listen, Alex, that's been absolutely great, really helpful. So very useful. And I hope that's sort of given some sort of insight to, you know, to the listeners as to what's been blowing up back in the UK. Because, you know, like Francesco's relatives back in Italy, I'm based in Belgium and there's been absolutely nothing on it. We've been with
No.
it. Instead, they've just been raving about the new Belgian or Belgian away shirt being Tintin.
Okay. Can I just remind listeners, if they want to look smart with their friends by knowing everything about the history of football jerseys, Alex's book, Pretty Paul, has been published by Pitch Publishing. Is that correct, Alex? And can be found in every bookstore.
Yes, thank you very much. That's five is in the post, Francesco.
And also, let's not forget to tell the listeners, as ever, you know, you can reach out to us, contact us if there's other sorts of, you know, new stories that are developing that you would like us to explore and to sort of bring in an expert and provide some context and explanation as to what's going on. You know, we're more than happy. In fact, we'd love to do this kind of stuff. Finally, also, we're back again on Monday with our episode, with our regular episode. And remind us, who's that again, Francesco?
It's Salma Musa. Mm-hmm. On the politics of Mo Salah, or Mo Salahology, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You defined it.
Yeah. So do look out again on Monday. That's when the next episode drops. So once again, thanks very much, Alex, for taking the time to speak to us.
No problem. Great to come on again.
Thank you, Alex.
All right. And take care, Francesco. We'll speak again soon. Okay. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.